podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, and it's time for the match day special. It's the Arsenal one, and I've gone for a cheeky little pre-match, or pre-pre-match. Now, hang on, let's start that again. Pre-match drinks, pre-drink. There we go. At the Beer and Burger, where the NSK guys are going today, and I've just run into one of them on my way to the Hamilton Brewery later on. Here at Beer and Burger, it is Mr. Tom Hynans, who's been on before. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing well, Russell. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah, not too bad. I heard your dulcet tones on the Albion Raw the other day.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah.
You're getting about, aren't you?
Every so often.
Podcast slapper, you could call yourself.
I've been called worse. I have been called worse.
Excellent, good. Well, cheers. Let's check glasses to prove we are indeed drinking at, well, what is it, 12 o'clock, I think. Or oh, that's 12:15.
Just over, yeah.
A sensible time of the day to start. You can't drink before midday, can you? Mainly because the doors are locked. Yeah, they were just opening up as I got here. Anyway, so obviously you've been doing well. Just talking off air there about the Everton game. Obviously, we've reviewed it and all that, but I was saying to you, it was a game I thought we'd drop points in, and that's why I was so delighted about the United game. How do you see, or how did you find that? How do you find the recent games, and how are you looking in terms of the running?
It's typical Brighton. We do well and beat someone like Man United on the Thursday. Then you go to relegation, threatened Everton, or they come to us. And you just knew that something was going to happen. We always struggle against Sean Dyche's teams. We always struggle against teams that sit back and just defend. We need teams to come and pressure us.
Which is Fulham, Forest, Newcastle, actually, earlier this season at home. Obviously, Everton in this game, and other matches, Brentford as well, in fact. Both games, they were kind of tough to play against, weren't they? And we struggle.
And the good thing with Arsenal at the Emirates is they can't do that. They won't do that.
Yeah. On top of which, not that they wouldn't go for it anyway, but they need a win. They have to get a win. Even if City drop points today, that's just motivational, and they still need that win anyway.
The problem is, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because we win today, and then City could win yet another Premier League title at the Albion, which is slightly sour in that.
Although there is a flip to the double-edged sword as well. It could be a double-edged sword the other way, because by beating Arsenal, if City had won earlier in the day as well, that would actually pretty much put pay to the title.
It would,
but by
would
the time we play City,
that would be a possession. But yeah, I mean,
and then maybe we win both.
Feeling good today as well, because it's sunny, and I have a completely non-scientific theory of we always play better in the sun. Everton, it was chucking it down with rain. We were crap.
It was sunny, wasn't it? That 6-1 win against Blackpool, two reasons for that. One,
sunshine.
There's a bald guy had himself shat on by a bird in the Trafalgar Beer Garden pre-match. That was definitely a lucky thing. And the other one was, it was sunny.
Yeah.
Today, sunny. It feels like it, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The sky's blue and white.
It wasn't a good day at Wembley, was it? The weather.
But the sky's blue and white, and hopefully it'll be blue and white on the pitch as well.
It's fantastic. Well, I've got to go in a moment just after this cheeky half, but you're the first part of our match day special. We'll hopefully catch up with some of the other NSK guys later on, some of them who are arriving here, but I'll hopefully hook up with you guys at the Hamilton Brewery.
Yep.
If you still make it up there.
Look forward to it.
Fantastic. Till later, Tom. Cheers.
Bye.
So here we are at the Hamilton Brewery. I've met up with Tom Hynans earlier on there. It's good to hear from him, and his crew might be coming here fairly soon. In the meantime, while we wait for our pizzas, I have the lovely Mr. Andy Gresty, known to some as Wedge. Talk to me about pendulums, Andy. We didn't actually discuss this on the podcast. Tell me about pendulums, because I think your theory is an excellent one, sir.
Well, the theory here is that you've seen a lot when Mitoma gets double teamed by the opposition, which is happening almost from the first whistle these days. You will often find that we'll send Esther Pinion up ahead of Mitoma, with Mitoma coming in forward, and Esther Pinion overlapping, which also leaves you massively exposed to the back. Where I stand, which is for most games directly behind the goal, you will notice that the very moment that Esther Pinion overtakes Mitoma, if you can train yourself not to watch the ball but to watch our defenders, you will see our back three, the back three that's left, obviously missing its opinion, swinging across to the left to cover instantaneously. And this is what RGZ has drilled into these guys, such that Dunk will go across to left back effectively, Webster will go into centre back,
And then the right back will drop to cover, and Solly March or somebody or Gross on the right will drop into right back. So you've automatically got a back ball. And this happens without anybody looking or calling or anything. It's instinct. And the same happens going up the right flank as well. If we did send somebody up the right outside of Solly March.
So Webster covers Dunk's position.
Yeah.
And then whoever's at fullback covers Webster's position.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Solly or whoever it is.
And the same the other way. You know, and if we go up the left and we just hit a barn door, we just can't get through there, you'll see us bring the ball back out to the halfway line to try and create more space between their back lines. Play it down our back line, go up the right, and the defence will automatically switch across the other way. And that's why I call it the pendulum, because it's literally, these guys have probably been trained to say that the moment the fullback overtakes the winger, you swing that way and you've got everything covered. But it's just incredible, the microscopic detail with which they do it. But as I say, you have to train yourself to not follow the ball, but to look at something else that's going on, to learn something interesting. And that's something to Zerbe is drilled in minutest detail.
So you're saying they're a bunch of swingers?
Absolutely.
No, but on your points, I think those are really valid points, really interesting points. And you're right, the minutiae, the detail, and it's what various players in interviews have said, haven't they? The incredible detail that he goes into.
There's been a few short clips, 2 or 3 minute clips on the club website over the last 3 months.
Yeah.
Where they show the players playing possession ball in like a 25-yard square, and it could be 3-on-2 or 4-on-3 or 3-on-3. And De Zerbe is screaming at any player who plays the ball but does not immediately move their position so they are then stood somewhere else.
Yeah.
He is all over you like a bloody rash. And apparently they do this for hours and hours. And that's one of the ways by which, you know, we're able to create such instinctive movement, getting out and through the first line or the high press. But the other one I found that's really interesting is when you see Caicedo or McAllister. De Zerbe refers to it as standing in the shadow. So if you imagine you're Lewis Dunk and you've got the ball at your feet and you've got the foot on the ball and you're trying to draw the man on, and he's not coming, and he's not coming. All you need to know is Lewis Dunk is that you've got an outlet either way. And if you have got an outlet either way, you'll find Caicedo or McAllister will stand in what De Zerbe calls the shadow behind the man who is about to press you hardest. Now, if you think about it, Caicedo is now stood. You've got Lewis Dunk, you've got the attacking pressing striker, and then you've got Caicedo all in a straight line. And the first thing you think is, why the hell is he there? He's never going to be able to pass to him there. It's bloody obvious, because if you play it to either side, you've then got Caicedo completely free in between the highest pressing man. So you say to the opposition, right, why don't you press on Caicedo, the man in the shadow? But you've now committed two defenders in a straight line. And De Zerbe has worked out that if you're using two of your pressers in a straight line,
you've created space besides.
And it's bang, bang, bang. And the thing that surprised me more than anything, and it's almost impossible to describe, but there was a 2-minute video on the club website about 6 weeks ago where they were playing this murder ball possession ball in this 25-yard mark square with De Zerbe barking at them. And they were doing this, can you believe, without a football. And every single one of them instinctively knew who was doing what, just by the shape of their body and the look of their eyes and the signals they were giving, knew where the ball was going. And I watched 2 minutes of frantic possession ball.
Without a ball.
Without a ball, which is just
incredible. I can believe that.
Can you imagine how much easier it is once you've got a ball?
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can train yourself to do it without a ball, which is just I don't know anybody who's ever thought of that as a coaching technique, but I watched it for 2 minutes and it was jaw dropping. It really was.
He is on a different level, completely on a different level, and that is a classic example of why. What I want to find is that I think people have been buzzing about their training. Other clubs, people may or may not like training. Some people don't train much at all. You hear that a lot, don't you?
Yep.
Including people like Ibrahimovic and so-called world stars who will they will just turn up on the day and do their thing, and that's fine. But this is about the team game. This is a team game. It's been really effective over a long period. You have to be the best you can be, and the best we can be sounds like bloody amazingly.
I think there's going to be a massively disproportionate amount of team training time in these 25-yard squares. Possession of move. You know, when you think you've got to train for, you want to cover physical fitness, you want to cover attacking set pieces, defensive set pieces, you then want to look at videos of patterns of play that your opposition have got. You divide all that up, you've probably only got a little 20% of your time to do on the intricate little passing. But that's not deserving. I get the impression a massively disproportionate amount of time is spent on possession getting through the first two lines, because once you're through there, that's where the 63 goals have come from.
If you set your standards as high, you know, this thing about without the ball, you know, if you set your standards so high that you cover every eventuality, it's invigorating. This is the other thing. I reckon those players who go to training, unlike the Ibrahimovic's of this world, these players go to training absolutely buzzing before they get there. I've seen it before in other work environments. When you've got an inspirational manager in any field to that level, it's inspiring, it's invigorating. You end up energised off the scale. You talk about, you know, this thing about people having exercise, but you don't feel like in the mood for a run. And you start a run, 5 minutes into your run, you feel energised. You suddenly feel like you've got loads of energy, and the idea of not running in the first place feels alien to you. This is that with extra anchovies, isn't it?
Yeah.
And or extra zucchinis.
Extra zucchinis. One extra thing I would add is the reason the players, for me, are responding so well to it is they can see their own personal careers catapulting.
Yeah.
Now, just imagine, if you can for a moment, that Mitoma joined a team managed by Sean Dyche. His career would not have catapulted in 10 months the way it has. So there's an enormous amount being demanded of people like that, Gilmore, McAllister, Gross. But they're fully signed into it, because not only is the team on the threshold of achieving something it's never done before, but as individuals, wherever their future is going to be, they are gaining a reputation that is putting masses of value on them, which never would have happened. You know, just imagine some of our players in a mid-table team being managed by a managerial dinosaur. They could even be playing their last season in the Premier League and thinking, oh, I nearly made it, but I didn't quite. Instead, the coin's completely flipped, and these people are pushing back boundaries in their own careers that they probably never could have dreamed of. And so that's what De Zerbi is pushing for, and he's getting it. And so they're pushing each other. Yeah. Unimaginable levels.
Those levels of inspiration and are just off the scale. And you look at someone like Zal Pedro, apparently Burnley were interested as well. And Cumbly's done a brilliant job, and Burnley were nailed on promotion. They've now got promoted. They're not in the conversation because Cumbly is a brilliant manager. He's done really well. What you've got as an alternative is a club that's already firing as well as Burnley could ever dream of doing. At the top level,
exciting times for them.
With better players as well. And it's fantastic. It is absolutely fascinating. I think football in general is fascinating at this period in our history, but most particularly with us. I think we are setting boundaries. The media's going off the scale about how well we're playing, and that's fantastic. But as you said, look at those training videos. You can see the level of detail, the level of thinking, the level of inspiration, and you can talk about emotional intelligence and Graham Potter having a degree in it and all the other stuff. He can have that degree. He may be able to some degree inspire the players with it, but he won't inspire them as much as meticulous training on the level that
it's very easy for big national sports journalists, football journalists, some of the football social media to just label it as Brighton are playing beautiful football, and maybe we are, but what I've tried to do is try and search for, are we really really? And if so, what is it? What are the actual roots and building blocks of what makes beautiful football in our team? Because we've got some good assets, but they're by no means the best assets in the world. But we've made them superstars, and we've made a brand of football that others are only just beginning to be able to work out a plan to try and neutralise. And it's those tiny little building blocks that you see that's De Zerbi. And I think, you know, bless him, hope we keep him for another season.
Absolutely.
If we don't, you need somebody who is going to hopefully provide some sort of continuity for that level of discipline, intensity and repetition of training.
And we know that the succession planning is there. We know that's there. However, you cannot account for how good the next person is able to be. You know, if De Zerbi's the best, by default, you're not getting the best next time. However, the pendulum thing, look out for that, boys, the pendulum theory. Also, I have to mention, how do you reckon that feeds into our issue with the quantity of games, the intensity, the fatigue, all that stuff?
I think we're just beginning to...
Are we going to struggle here?
He's doing well.
We're beginning to reap the outcome. I can't call it benefits. We're beginning to reap the outcome of the intensity with which we train and the intensity with which we play. We don't quite have the depth. And it's only when we get to May, and it's hard to believe, but we're playing 8 Premier League games in the month of May.
Yeah.
That is more than 20% of our whole season, of our 10-month season, in the month of May. Normally, I remember FA Cup final first Saturday in May, season's over. We're playing a fifth of our season in May.
And
playing those games every 3 days...
because of World Cup, but nonetheless...
Playing those games every 3 days is causing massive fatigue, stress injuries...
Well, you've described the level of detail that De Zerbi goes into in training.
Yeah.
Obviously, by default, he's got 50% of the time that he would like for each of those preparations.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if that's a major factor for him. So we're going to be missing something. We're going to be missing stuff due to fatigue, due to injuries. We're also going to be missing stuff due to lack of match planning time.
Lack of prep time for a specific opponent. You'd like to spend at least a day and a half on that. But if you take a rest day after a match day and you're just literally getting your muscles and joints back together, you've then got a maximum of 1 day to do all of your preparation for a specific opponent. It's just not enough. I feel for the guys like Solly, who's given it everything every time he's been called on, and he's obviously picked up a long term one that's going to take him well into the summer, and that's just the circumstance of having a World Cup and all of that in the middle of the season, plus all the games we had to push back because of opponents in European competition.
Couldn't we have organised this a bit better, though? It feels as if there was one or two windows that we didn't take. I don't know why. There might be a reason.
I think if you go back into January and February, some of our opponents were involved in European competition and just trying to slot all of their pieces together. And we were just an afterthought. And so there were times when we went 10 days without a game, and now we're playing 4 games in 11 days.
Well, let's hope we're a forethought today for the Arsenal fans as they walk out the stadium. Let's hope so. We'll see. Wedge, Andy, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
As always, look out for the pendulum, folks. And in the meantime, I'm going to...
Hamerton Brewery.
Hammer some at the Hamerton Brewery. Isn't it right? And two or three lads here. There's a guy with two sons, I think, that's walked in. They've all got Mitoma related stuff on their t-shirts. Brilliant. Wonderful stuff. Happy days.
Just wanders off.
Right, so having engaged with the NSK guys, I've spoken to Dan, who's a regular listener to the show. Hello, Dan, if you are listening. Your lot weren't up for it today. For chatting. Unbelievable. What? How disappointing. How disappointing. However, good lad. He's a good lad, Dan. In the meantime, we've got our regular posse of drunken idiots.
It's my mate.
Okay. Duncan is now receiving a message from his mate. So we transfer it over to Peter.
Peter. Peter the pod.
Pete.
Go on, Peter.
It's Pod Pete. It's Poddy Pete.
Pete, put your pod voice on quickly.
Hello.
How you doing, Peter?
Alright.
Are you beer fueled and are you subsequently delusional about the results?
No, not really.
I need a few more pints before I get delusional about the results.
He looks battered to me.
Well, it's my round, so yeah, there we go. Peter, it's great to see you here. Hamilton Brewery, we've had some great times here. I was here this season, earlier in the season, for the Spurs game, pre and post
that went.
And that was not a happy memory. I have to say that the brewery was fine. There was nothing
wrong
with
it. I heard Stuart Atwell's coming out post match today, so along with Michael Salisbury, so you know.
Can you hear that noise? Can you hear that noise? That's the sound of my blood boiling. That's the sound of my blood.
Stuart Atwell.
Atwell sounds like an ironic name, doesn't it, Summer?
Not again today.
Yeah.
I bet his middle
name is
Howard.
I say he's coming out here now. He's coming out here later on.
If his middle name was Howard, then it'd be Shatwell.
It's always good to Shatwell. It's always important that you do.
Well, exactly. It's healthy bowels and all that. Yeah. On that note, moving swiftly on, Peter, how are we going to do today?
I think it's going to be 3-1 defeat. As I said, I'm sticking with what I went on for a Friday.
So negative, isn't he? So negative, Duncan.
And that's unusual, isn't it? Yeah, because normally you're quite positive. No, yeah. But
there's certain people, we're not looking at you, Robin and Josh, but there's certain people that are particularly negative about the Albion.
Oh no, that's okay. We are.
No, it's not.
You've been drinking. I am slightly negative today as well. Yeah, I
Get
think
out.
We could lose.
Get out.
Yeah. I think we could lose 3-2. Well,
we can lose
like
3-2.
That.
Yeah, we can lose 3-2.
I would like us to win 3-2. But yeah. Anyway, it's difficult. They're really, really on form. We are still good on our day. We can beat anybody. We've got quite a few injuries.
Have you got your boots today?
I have got my boots, so hopefully. Where'd you got yours? Yeah?
You got your boots today?
I have got my boots, yeah. I think it's a defender they're looking for, and I used to play number 9, so I'll let Ferguson.
Have you lied down in front of the goal? That's just sort of it.
Just wedge me between the posts. Wedge me in there.
Didn't you score a hat trick at Deepdale?
No, that's a rumour.
I did actually score a hat-trick in a competitive game under floodlights at Deepdale on the
For anyone in the know, this is a running joke on WhatsApp, but it has never been committed to podcast history. I think this feels like the moment. Wedge, would you like to tell us how and in what circumstances you scored the perfect hat-trick?
Left, right and ahead.
It was a perfect hat-trick.
At Deepdale.
Went left foot, right foot, header. We won 5-4, and the competition was in 1993, so it's 30 years ago this
Look
summer.
Look at his face, he's bursting with pride.
Against Cheltenham Ladies?
No, it wasn't. It was Halifax Building Society's national football squad against Abbey National's Building Society, and we were a big rivalry back then, and I was in Abbey National's football team.
Yeah,
and we played up there.
You were in the Abbey habit, were you?
Left foot, right foot.
Were there riots post-match after the...
There were no riots, no.
So it wasn't quite River Plate against Poppadew.
No, it wasn't. No, I think there were probably about 300 in the crowd. Absolute tops. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I never made the heights of my brother or my dad play. They both made pro soccer. So I was the letdown. I played division.
Maybe today's your chance.
Maybe today...
Given our options.
Could step in at right back. And if they let me have a motorbike on the pitch, I might be able to keep up, you know.
Those
in frames. You said pro soccer. That's not a faux pas because it was stateside football.
Well, my dad played for Exeter City in Division 3 South in the 50s, and my brother played for the feeder team for the Los Angeles Aztecs in the original version of North American Soccer League back in 1981.
Brother Johnny, who's been on
brother
the podcast.
Johnny. Brother Johnny's
Hello,
been on
brother
the
Johnny.
Yeah. He was an exceptional left winger. He was in the John Robertson mould. Looked stocky, but he'd push his ball past the man and be gone for dust. He was amazing, and also played number 9 towards the end of his career.
Do you mean John
well.
Robinson as in former Charlton and Brighton great John Robinson?
Forrest Robertson.
Oh, Robertson.
Robertson. John Robertson.
Oh, him?
Left winger for Forrest. Yeah.
Oh, actually, a proper good player.
In that mould, yeah.
What do you say about John Robinson?
I knew he was going to jump on that, Peter. Come on. You haven't got to defend your Charlton boys all the time.
I mean, I do. No. I'm a proper local now.
Anyway, back to this hat trick. Have we covered it? Have we covered it?
Yeah, we've covered it. It's more than enough.
Right,
lead by 300.
Duncan, thoughts on today's game?
It's a game.
Oh, God, it's a game. Well, thoughts on
it is
today's game. So I'm having an absolutely brilliant time here at the Hammerpot Brewery.
Hammerpot? What, we're in West Sussex now, are we?
I've got the... Hammerton Brewery.
Hammertown, that basically means. It's the most appropriate name in world history, isn't it? Hammertown. Because everyone in here is hammers.
Not really. Well, you are.
Including Mickey Flanagan.
Yeah. It's going to be a difficult game. We've got injuries. We're going to have to put Gross at right back. I would like to see Billy Gilmore in midfield. And then Caicedo. You know, push McAllister up front in number 10, and then you've got Enciso and
Enciso.
God, shut up! And then Mitoma up front. Ferguson, got to start, please.
Yeah.
They are on fire. Arsenal are on fire. So. And they're going to be at home, so I think this is a really difficult game. So I'm kind of 70-30. I'm kind of 70-30 down. We're going to lose this, but I'm sorry. I'm normally really positive, but I'm not.
I'm glad it's not just today. I'm not feeling it today. I just don't really. I think we'll beat Southampton. I think, and then from there, anything else we get. It's going to go to Villa last game, and we all know how that's going to end, don't we?
God.
We all know how that's going to end.
I am feeling it today, but apparently the police are coming to take me away for that. So
all right.
I don't know about
it. The pitch and the cough their manager like. Leeds fan.
Oh yeah, Leeds, bless them. Let's update on that.
So apparently he's been already banned for life from Leeds and also been arrested and charged with assault. But I don't understand why the club are giving him helping him out, making him offering a nice offering by banning him for life.
Oh, you bitch, Peter. I knew this was coming. Outrageous behaviour, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's disgusting. And also, what the hell are the stewards doing? What are they just standing around watching while this guy basically got up to any help? Surely he got some time where he got onto the area where they should have reacted. That's what they're there for.
The reaction was slow, wasn't it?
They're just like, what are they doing? Standing around, waiting for. Oh, let's see how this escalates. He might shake his hand.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Your whole job is to jump in when that happens. And the guy could have had a weapon for all they knew. Did they hit
him? Correct.
As Eddie Howe said, he had no idea. You could have had a bottle top.
A bottle of water to hit him with.
What? Unsealed? Eddie Howe said he didn't see it happening.
No.
He's focused on the game. And that's why it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
But the steward's job is to literally watch for those sorts of things. And they failed.
We've got a fear snake going on here. We've got a fear snake. This is going to get tricky.
These are going to go tricky. It's high quality podcasting now. talking about
we have a guy who's taken essentially 20 glasses. 20 glasses at once.
That's Alan.
And that was just rough.
Yeah, Alan stole Duncan's sunglasses earlier on, didn't he?
20 times.
Yeah, there we go.
One for each beer he drank.
But we're talking about massive clubs. We mentioned Leeds. The most massive club of all. What a blessed, disgusting scenario.
I was gutted for them.
It's so disappointed.
It was.
Yeah, they lost 4-0.
I'm not quite
going
over that, to be honest.
Devastating.
It's so disappointing.
They've come so far and just to fall at the final hurdle.
So many points. They got the record number of points ever and they're not going up.
Duncan, someone posted on the WhatsApp group saying, putting absolutely everything into getting automatic promotion, just missing out, being completely blown out, exhausted, and then losing really heavily in the first semi-final, first leg.
No, it wasn't me, but I did like it.
It was very good, wasn't it? It does feel awfully familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's the biggest irony. Dad was just saying, they beat Derby, which meant Chef Peterborough got in as well. They're the only reason Peterborough got there.
Yes, even better. Even better, isn't it? It's fantastic.
I think it just shows the playoff concept up to
be all wrong. They had so many points advantage over Peterborough. They should automatically be.
They didn't feel like that though when they beat us in the playoffs.
No, I just think they should.
Yeah, funnily enough, though.
Really sorry. I feel really sorry for them. I'm just going to go and piss myself.
Yes, do feel free.
On the one hand, I feel really gutted. On the other hand, I just can't help laughing. Yeah.
And on that first hand, that first hand doesn't really exist. Yeah.
Exactly. They didn't feel any sympathy for us when they were Wednesday fans coming out of Hillsborough in that playoff and they're accosting Dustin and my dad going like, oh, taking a piss and like kind of going, you were lucky to get away with 2 minutes. Like, we had four fucking injuries in an hour. How are we lucky we come away with 2-0?
And I still go back, and I've said it before on the podcast, to the giant idiots who came up next to me and goes, unlucky pal, on the way in. Which is both very irritating, because if it's true, we were very unlucky on the day, as it turned out. And B, the arrogance of the guy before the game. And
then the second leg, where we would have won it, I'm guaranteeing we would have got at least extra time in that game.
We should have had a free kick.
A goal where Dunk was clearly shoved.
And the cross that was only meant as a cross then subsequently went straight into the goal.
But you get fluke goals, that's one thing. But to not see the foul where the guy clearly shoved Dunk is just. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be supporting Wednesday in the second leg. Yeah. 100%. Obviously, yeah. I really want them to come back from 4-0 down against Peterborough.
That would be really, really, really great. Yeah.
Peterborough Barnsley in the final, Peter. It could be, couldn't it? I said on the last pod, I thought Bolton, they got a 1-1 home draw. Not good. Barnsley, I fancy them.
I went to Peter. Basically, what you're saying is in a four-team league, or changing your fancy to another team.
Yeah, I can change it three times.
When Peterborough are three up in the playoff, I'd be like, I fancy Peterborough now.
Absolutely.
I said I fancy Peterborough. They've got a very good playoff record, and so often the team who sneaks in at the end goes on to win the playoffs.
Mm.
They're always
a
team who score goals.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about we said it a bit belligerently about the Wednesday thing, but actually that is a point, isn't it? If you push everyone all the way to get the autos and you're stuck in the playoffs and someone's just casually strolled in the last minute, in my mind I'm thinking that casual team is going to win it all day long.
It often happens that the guys that finish third don't get promoted. Often.
Yes.
It's the ones that just sneak in that are on a little bit of a roll and are really fired up for it.
I think I'm right in saying fourth out of the 3-6 playoff category is the most popular one for promotion.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because that's probably a little off the auto chase. They've probably wound down and taken the intensity out and they've saved themselves.
Yeah.
Third better than two other teams.
Yeah. Third, obviously, they're so disappointed not to go up. Just that mental thing.
That's why I thought Chesterfield might win against Notts County on the basis that they knew they weren't going to get autos way in advance. Notts County didn't know that.
Yeah, but it went to 120 minutes and then penalties.
It's a lottery. When all said and done, it's a lottery. But there we go. Anyway, Duncan, prediction for the game, quickly. I'm going 2-1 Brighton. I've said that for the last 8 weeks. I've got it wrong every single week.
I think I've just said it, but we're going to lose 3-2.
My prediction is Russ gets drunk.
So Peter predicts I'm going to get drunk. I predict that as well.
That's a correct prediction. It's already correct.
Yeah, it's actually not a prediction at all. It's just a statement, an observation. And what were you saying about the game?
Well, this is my last game this season to see live for the Albion, so I'm off on holiday. And if you're preparing to play a top-class side like Arsenal, there's a number of things you need to have aligned. Number one,
referee.
Number one, you need to have good preparation time to prepare for this specific game. Number two, you need to have all your assets available. Number three, you need to be physically fit and raring to go. Number four, you need to be on a momentum upswing.
Oh dear.
We are none of those things.
0 out of 4.
I'm sorry to say, the best we can hope for is a score draw. I don't think we'll get it.
Okay, all right. Courtney, quick word on the Arsenal game. Thoughts on this? How are we going to do?
Tricky one to tell. It's one of those where it's a typical Brighton thing. Lose to Everton, beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think it's a 3-1 win in us for today.
Like it. I like it.
Simple as that.
I'm going 2-1, but I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Cheers, fella. Excellent. And David, have you got a prediction today?
I fear we're not going to make it today. I go with the 3-1, but probably the other way around.
Oh, no. Same. Peter. Your son said that, too.
It's a different game to Monday. It presents different problems. But we look like we're a bit knackered at the moment.
Yeah. The weaknesses are actually how we've been fatigued, haven't we, over the last few weeks. That's the worry.
We've had too many games. We've got too many games coming up. We've got a smallish squad and we've got a lot of injuries. It's a bad mixture.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because we've been doing really well. Give
me 10 minutes. Well, absolutely, I agree with you. It's not looking good. However, I'm still confident. I reckon we'll get the win.
13 minutes.
Yes. I'm not sure I am right, but let's see. Anyway, David, thank you very much. Thank you, Corny. Thank you to Andy. Thank you to Duncan. Also to whoever else I spoke to earlier on. I can't remember who it was. Probably Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter. And Alan, who has since departed. In fact, I don't think Alan got on, did he? Daddy got on, did he? We cruelly neglected him. Yeah.
I'd also like to say thank you to Russ and Pete for running this podcast for another season. It's been fantastic for me because I suffer from insomnia, and this is the best cure that I've found. So thank you. It's wonderful.
Thanks, mate.
No, bless you. Thank you. Thank you. So thank you, Russ and Pete. It's been wonderful. Great entertainment, and I've slept so well in the last.
Thanks very much, Wes. It's your round now. I can tell you that. And so now joining us at the table is friend of the show, Duncan's friend,
yep.
Arsenal Rich fan, yep. Rich.
Richard Porter.
Richard Porter, that's a fine name.
Fine time name.
It sounds like a couple of drinks that sound pretty good. Rich Porter, that sounds like something I want to drink.
Indeed.
Anyway, Richard, welcome. You're an Arsenal fan.
I am indeed. 35 years season ticket holder.
Tell us your story, your backstory. So 35 years, we're talking, so going back to 83?
In the 80s,
83.
Yes.
Well, you
80,
see the
80, I'm going to say 88, 89 is probably a bit more accurate, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maths was never mine. 88. So you were there for all the golden era?
I was there for the Wenger years, yeah. I remember standing on the North Bank when it first title, the whole place just bouncing away. Yeah, this is a vintage
shirt.
It's
got a T-shirt saying North Bank N5. Absolutely, as we speak, right. Yeah.
Realised then that the concrete on the North Bank was about as flaky as the concrete on the seafront in Brighton. As the whole thing bounced up and down, I was thinking, shit, it's all going to give way on us. But it was worth it. Yeah, the glory years.
Yeah. And how's it been? Ups, downs and...
Well, of course there's been ups and downs, yeah. And this year has been a bit of both, hasn't it? You know, we're sitting here now. And if you'd asked me a month ago, I would have said we had it nailed on. But, of course, the relentless charge of the oil barons. And what can you do about it?
You're in that limbo stage, aren't you, now, where... You're doing better than you thought you would do.
Absolutely.
But having done so well earlier in the season, you now feel it would be a disappointment.
I'm going to say it's not a disappointment because it's such a young side and massively outperformed. You can look back at those three games, the Liverpool game, the West Ham game, obviously the Southampton game, and there are people who say we bottled it. I'm going to say we haven't bottled it.
I hate that expression.
Same points already as the Invincibles, apparently.
Absolutely. We will finish on more points than the Invincibles.
And yeah. Something like 25 more points than last year.
Absolutely right. And a really young side. I think the last couple of games have shown that, you know, we've still got it in us. We can still fight on. I've got no idea what Everton have done this afternoon against City, by the way.
3-0 down.
Oh.
City are 3-0.
Well, that'll be it then. That'll be it. But, no, look, I mean, young side, if we can hold on to those players, we've got a fantastic young manager. I was in the Arteta out camp at the beginning of last season, but no, absolutely not. I mean, the guys, you know, I've been wrong before. I think it was in 1996. I'm made up. If you'd said, old cliche, but if you'd said, we'd be finishing second this year at the beginning of the season, I'd have bitten your hand off. And in fact, I did. I bit Billy Hill's hand off. Put 20 quid down at William Hill for Arsenal to finish in the top two, so I'll still be collecting 360 quid.
Well, that's not too bad, is it?
Which will pay for about 5% of my season ticket next year.
Well, it does sum up how things are, though. You know, the fact that you can finish top two, and that is a progression, it's a success, one way or the other, isn't
very
it?
Very exciting side to watch, just like your boys. Absolutely fantastic football, creative, imaginative. Really, really breaths of fresh air, you boys.
We know we're going to have a good game, don't we? Whatever happens today, it's exactly going to be a good game.
Exactly right. Sun shining, sun's out, gunner's out. What do you want to say?
We're away from the coast. There's no seagulls around here. I feel uncomfortable.
That's because we have, trained marksmen on the rooftop shooting them as they fly in.
So you're right. And they have to come over Selhurst as well. So
They die of toxic inhalation when they go past Selhurst.
We have the Shite Hawk Patrol all around manning the borders of London to make sure.
Well, listen, let's hope for a good game and may Albion win.
You too, Pat. Have a good game.
We're both sitting for a crap game as long as we win.
Exactly. Trossard on the ball. No longer on the ball.
Simeone's miss it into the ground.
Beautiful. Miss it into the ground. Who scored, Wedge?
Enciso. Thomas spinning Ben White for the goal.
Spinning who, did you say?
Ben, what's his name? The one we sold for a lot of money. Oh, the one not very good.
The one Tony Blue's having a wank over.
Wanking.
So we're 1-0 up in the 52nd minute.
Beautiful. Wonderful. The most glorious miss hit into the ground by Estupiñán. When the ball bounced over the near post defender's head. For a simple nodding for Enciso.
Game, we're winning the singing.
We're going really physical now, which is great.
Yeah, we're getting more physical.
High press and very physical.
We need to do that.
I don't know, they're physically tired so they don't see what we can see, but
yeah.
It's frustrating when we give it away like that, and there's such a
danger. Yeah, we're winning 1-0 at Arsenal when we're this tied. Yeah. If we could see it out, amazing. Let's see. We're on the attack again. We've just had a sub a few minutes ago you weren't happy with. Welbeck coming off at Gilmore, interestingly.
I thought Gilmore was running the game, unless he's got a knock or something.
Yeah, he might have, he might have.
There's a bit of a hole in our midfield. McAllister's dropped deeper into that hole, but his legs are very, very tired.
Then you bring a centre back on for someone in right.
We should take it.
Look at the space he's got over here on the left.
Yeah.
No one's picking him up. Oh, brilliant for Casado. Brilliant from Welbeck. Here we go. Howdy Mack on the attack. The folks north and Buena Lafayon. Robin and Josh. The Undav haters. Hey, Chris as well. Chris, another one. He hates Undav. Oh, are they still going to hate him when he scores in 2 minutes? We're in the 83rd minute. We're on the defensive. Recording.
Go on, Bernard.
Thank you. a wedge. We're 2-0 up at Arsenal. We're winning again at the Emirates. Boring.
Nice.
Amazing. In case you can't guess who scored, let's listen to this. In case you didn't know, Dennis O'Duff, he had the ball, and he had time, and he took time, and he lobbed the goalie. There was a touch on the way, wasn't there? Didn't matter. And we're still on the attack.
Win it, Matt, win it.
To be serial offenders at the Emirates. But we are serial offenders at the Emirates. We're offending the locals. They're all leaving. We keep winning. Have you joined this, Wedge?
I'm loving it. We're going all the way here.
And he should have had a go there. Mitchell, that could have been 3-0. It should have been 3-0. Oh. Oh. Thank you. amazing. I cannot believe it. Pascal Gross coming over to the away fans. Two fists pumping, clapping the fans. You've got to love this. Courtney, get a swirl in. Hamilton Brewery again, post-match, after a long walk, and I'm rather
what
tired.
What a crap afternoon that was.
What a terrible afternoon. We only scored three goals. Awful. Peter, that was terrible, wasn't it?
I'm actually going to stop going to games now after that. That was just the worst experience of my life. What is the bloody point? You know, we have great days like Everton on Monday, and then we have shit like today. It's like, you know, what is the purpose of this whole... Yeah, I mean,
the goal difference is swinging around all over the place, isn't it?
I mean, the emotion as well, just being an Albion fan, you know, you get like Tottenham where you're angry about the defeat, then Chelsea was epic, then two defeats, one was gutting because it was so penalties, and the other one was gutting because we were a better team for part of the game and we should have won it. Then we win 6-0 and beat United in the last minute, then we get stuffed at home by Everton, and then we go to the bloody team chasing the title and stuff them away. I mean, it's just literally...
Are you saying this is the bipolar football team?
What I'm saying is, if you have a heart problem, don't watch the Albion, I think, probably.
It is up and down, isn't it? Like a roller coaster. It's off the fucking scale, isn't it, Duncan?
I just love days like these. This is why we follow the Albion. It's just utterly incredible.
Didn't we actually win 3-0 against the team who was still in the title race, away from home?
Yeah, it keeps happening.
Deservedly.
It keeps happening.
Deservedly.
Yeah, we were on fire.
Deservedly. I see what you did there. Yeah.
No, brilliant. This is why we follow football. This is why we follow the Albion. You know, you lose on Monday to Everton, get absolutely thrashed and deservedly, and they were brilliant. And then you come away to Arsenal, and who, you know, they've got 90 points. They've got the same number of points they had when they won the league in the Invincibles, and we have smashed them 3-0 away. It's fucking brilliant.
When you say the way we want football, most teams don't behave like this, to be honest.
I know.
Most teams nick 1-0 at Everton and then lose 2-0 away to Arsenal.
We are
a freak, weird team. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
It's a freak time, but I'm just enjoying the ride. I know it won't go on forever, but I'm just enjoying this lovely Deserby ride at the moment.
I was saying to Duncan, absolutely amazing. I was saying to Duncan on the way here, wouldn't it be epic if we got one more season out of this team and strengthened? I don't think we will. I think we'll lose one or two in the summer, but if we could get one more season out of this team and just get to watch them with a few additions to the squad, a bit of strengthening. It's not our plan. It probably would then lead to about three or four leaving next summer, and that would be good. But wouldn't that be epic? I don't know what we you know. It's not even crazy to say we could do a Leicester another team had a bad season like that year. We actually possibly, arguably, have a on paper almost as good a team over across the team. I mean, Leicester won the league with Wes Morgan at centre back and Robert Hooth. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of better players than they have.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. Yeah, it's not circumstances timing.
Exactly. Everyone else had a bad season, which won't happen probably next year. And
however, we could go on and win a European title. Yeah. And the irony is, we're looking to try and be the first of the Palace and Brighton axis of who's going to win the first major trophy.
We won the Charity Shield, remember?
Ironically, the first one could be us in Europe next year without having won a domestic one. That's the way.
Probably more likely the Conference League. Probably more likely the Conference League than the Europa League. That
it's safe to say that Charity Shield before any of us were watching.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I don't know. If you get rid of Sevilla, who win the Europa League on a daily basis, then maybe
Probably win it this year anyway, because they'll go to the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, as Andy Bravery's Man United friends on the train said, you've got to win it when it matters after the semi-final, which I would say to them, well, you mean like 3 days earlier when you lost the European, quarter-final, semi-final to Seville? Or indeed, when they got battered 7-0 by their bitterest rivals, Liverpool. Well, those games that matter, those games.
Or when they lost 4-0 at the Amex last year.
Yeah, all those games, exactly.
Or 1-0 at the Amex recently.
Exactly.
Or 2-1 at Old Trafford this
season. Listen, other people do. I don't have particular issues with Arsenal. I don't have particular issues with Man City. I didn't really mind who won the title. City won today. Was it 3-0, I think, wasn't it? And Arsenal lost 3-0.
So it's losing at home 3-0, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very careless. But we've essentially sealed the deal, which also now means the Man City game for us comes at a time when it's going to be in the bag, isn't it, to put it bluntly. So could we now take City? Last time it was in the bag, we took City. What are we looking at here?
Arsenal's last 7 games, draw, lost, won. Man City's last 7 games, won them all.
Awesome, eh? And they need to take their foot off the pedal, say in about 2 or 3 games' time.
Two games' time. Win the Champions League semi-final, win the league, and then put it back on again for the Champions League final. And the,
generally, that is likely
and
to
the,
happen.
And the FA Cup final.
They've got to have a rest, and mentally they'll take a step back.
And then they can go and stuff United in the final, because that'd be quite funny. Yeah. They won 5-0 in the final, that'd be hilarious.
Well, this game today, what's your take on it? To go into the details.
I think Arsenal offered absolutely nothing. They hit the bar through Trossard. Other than that, they there for 12, 13, 14 shots, but they didn't really. Not, a lot of them didn't really register. They were like long distance.
I can't remember anything apart from a couple of saves from Steele. That was it.
He was still in goal. Caicedo was playing right back here.
He was superb. I mean, in a way, we didn't miss him anymore because Gilmore was so good as well.
And that's Gilmore, GILMOUR. people. Apparently loads of people are smellier on me. Anyway.
Every single player was superb. No one had a bad game. They all took it. And in the first half, we should have scored. And Tite should have scored. But he hit over when Matoma got around the back. We had other chances as well. And then second half, we took our chances. The first goal was a bit messy, but it was a good ball back in by Stupinian. And Tite was there, 6 yards, yesterday, 4 yards out to head in.
Yeah.
Brilliant finish from Mundad for the second. Nice shot from Mundad for the third as well. The Stupinian did well to keep it down the rebound. So, I mean, we didn't have millions of chances, but what we did have, we took it really well. And we had significantly fewer shots than we had against Everton. Yeah, ironically,
we had 6 shots on target. They had 2, so and 3 of ours went in.
But Gilmore was so silky in the middle, wasn't he?
He was brilliant. Yeah. He is.
I loved him for a pre-season. I'm really looking forward to seeing him next year.
Yeah. And I was really shocked when he was taken off early. Second half for Welbeck.
When we were 1-0 up,
and I thought, oh my god! But I think he's just rested him for the other games, and Deserby. What a substitution. Bring Welbeck on. Welbeck was running the game at the front there, drawing players away, lays the ball off, and he just created so many chances. Absolutely brilliant.
When he's on form, he's off the ball up, he's brilliant. Finishing is not, in a way, amazing sometimes, but he's off the ball.
That's why we bought him.
Yeah, and his injury record as well.
Yeah.
But his off the ball work is superb, and he's running, and he's, the first 6-7 games of the season on the Potter, he was doing so much work, but didn't score when he had a couple of chances, but he was brilliant.
And also, I've got to have a word about Martinelli. Martinelli effectively looked like he elbowed our guy in the face.
That's right.
Got away with it. And then, what 2 minutes later, 3-4 minutes, I can't remember how long, how many minutes later, he got done himself and had to come off the unit.
And how it is that he didn't get booked, how it is that, well, to 87 minutes without getting a book in.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Ridiculous. Two or three, clear cut
booking. Yes. And then they were having to start booing our players not getting booked. Like, well, he's basically been so lenient with you. And then Estupiñán barely breathes on the guy, and he barely books him.
Well, you know how it is. We're going to have to deal with this from the other side of the equation at this rate, aren't we?
It's massive. That game was just massive for us, for Europe, for us getting into Europe. Before the game, I was thinking 70-30, we're going to win this in their favour. So that is really, really massive. Massive 3 points for us.
Can I just say as well, to Robin, to Josh, and to various other people in WhatsApp groups who said things like RIP Europe after Everton game, and also that poo-pooed the notion of us getting anything from Arsenal. Even to be fair, on our podcast, the last one, you and Alan, you thought no.
I thought after Monday we looked. I think it mainly squad depth, in fact, we looked like we were a bit knackered and where the dead was. I take it all back, yeah.
Well, there we go. Fair enough, Peter. Yeah. No, I mean,
I didn't think we couldn't get in today. I just didn't think we would. And Europe, I thought, might come down to
Villa away.
Which worried me.
Which is scary because I think Villa might do us.
We all know what happened last time at Villa. We were struggling to win anything or get anywhere, don't we?
Yeah.
And they had nothing to play for that day.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks we lost that game. We drew it, didn't we?
Yeah.
However, no. I mean, I just felt that we were going to have a reaction.
Did you realise we're going to lose it to Southampton?
Stop.
That might not matter now. Depending what happens on Saturday,
though, isn't it? It's just the Albion way.
Lose to a team already running over.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens.
Yeah, we beat Newcastle. We'll draw in Newcastle
to make it interesting. Still keeping it interesting. Then we'll lose to Southampton when we all think. And then we'll go and beat City 3-0.
And then when the Villa game comes in, there'll be about 7 different connotations.
Yeah.
And we'll get whatever we need, but there'll be so much hard work.
Oh, it's never easy being an Albion fan.
It's not.
But we are smiling. We are grinning from ear to ear right now.
If you think
it's
not going to happen, you then go and pull out a performance like bloody today.
It's easier today, isn't it, David? Can I get your a couple of words? We've got to get a couple of words from you, David, about today's game.
I'm still recovering.
I don't blame you.
You're still smart.
It's been wonderful, isn't it?
I mean, they really look like they shot their goals on Monday, and yet they were brilliant today.
Yeah. You never know, do you, with this team?
I mean, I've been saying for a while they would get stuffed by a team sooner or later, and they would stuff someone sooner or later. The last couple of weeks, it's been,
everything's the wrong way round.
It's been a brilliant afternoon. All the work I expected to win.
Yeah. It's a wonderful day. We're back at the Hampton Brewery celebrating. We're going on to the Lamb in a moment, aren't we? I believe.
Cheap talk, that is.
Cheap talk. I've got no doggy treats for your dog on account of the fact that your dog's not here. Yeah. But that's to be continued sometime down the line.
If we were hungry, we might have liked them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they're like pork scratchings or something, aren't they? Or beef jerky or something like that. I don't
have no idea. You're the one with the treats. This might also be the first kind of podcast that dog treats have been mentioned.
Yeah, it will be the first and the last. Yeah. And very quickly over to this side of the room, Wedge, we were talking in extensive terms pre-match.
It's easy for you to say.
Fantastic result, wasn't it? Absolutely marvellous.
Marvellous. Jump into the goalpost. Marvellous.
Your face, I was next to you. You were to my left. Your face, you looked very emotional when that third goal went.
Yeah, I was crying. I've just been chatting with David about that. I was crying, yeah.
Why particularly?
Well, we were just having a chat about those who have been doing this for 50 years. Yeah. This is a massive moment because we've basically got European football on a plate.
Yeah.
And if I survive on this mortal coil long enough to see us play once in Europe, that will have been worth it.
We should explain, Wedge has had various health issues. You're like some sort of, I don't know how to describe you, you're some sort of experiment, almost.
I'm a bag of broken bits. I should have gone about 35 years ago, but I'm still here.
You're still here, thinking. And you've been a fan since, what was it, 74. Yeah. 74. And,
suffer for the cause.
Yeah. Exactly, suffer for the cause. You've seen everything, you've seen the highs, the lows, and we've had ridiculous highs, ridiculous lows, haven't we?
Well, today there were some enormous performances. Caicedo was just unbelievable.
Incredible.
He popped
player.
Up in the left wing position on the third goal.
Yeah.
Why was he
on the left wing?
But he looked like a world-class right back, as if he'd been playing there for 10 years. Well, I think he's probably only played 10 games right back in his entire existence.
If even that.
Exactly.
I doubt we'll ever see a better player play for Albion.
We were saying we ought to pick a man of the match excluding Caicedo.
They're both very good shouts. Other massive performances today were Gilmore.
Amazing.
Running it against some big names. And then the other one, who we've just been chatting about, who just has the most boundless energy,
is Estupiñán.
Who just keeps going and going and going. And even when Mitoma's legs were going, Estupiñán was still bombing the left flank right to the end of the game. It was absolutely massive performance. But for me, the match winner performance today was Caicedo. But every single player chipped something in today. So whatever was learned in the dressing room after Everton and what was shared as men. And they've surely turned all the stones over, got all the bad stuff out, moved on, and beaten what is obviously a world-class team, and stuffed them to zero. And it's just, it's unbelievable to think that that's my team. So, thank you, Russ, for sharing the season with me. This is my last game today before I go away on holiday. I can rest in comfort knowing that we've just got to roll over the line and a place in the Europa Cup is going to be ours.
And you know what? I've been doing this podcast now for 3 and a bit years. And it's been a cathartic process. I've been enjoying it for my own benefit, really. Not that I like the sound of my own voice. I don't, actually, funny enough. But I just feel compelled to talk about the Albion. And I've got a number of friends that I know speak well about the Albion, good, bad or ugly. You're one of those.
And I'm the ugly.
So am I, actually. But I've delighted it. I've delighted in all aspects of this. We've had some bad times. I've not minded that. Because that's what being a football fan is. When we have these heights like this, it's off the scale, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think if the people who are listening to this do have access to social media and they like shipping around for short video clips, try and find the video clip of De Zerbi doing his knee slide on the touchline on the third goal. Yeah. It is unbelievable.
Go and find it. I also have a video. I filmed a video of the third goal. I need to see if it's worked out okay. If I have, I'll pop it up on my Twitter feed.
On your porn channel.
Brighton Rock Pod. Porn channel, absolutely. Football porn. It ready and waiting for you, ladies and gentlemen. Can I also, by the way, I keep forgetting to do it, can I give a shout out to all of the people that listen to me, and Peter, and all the other people that are on here, including yourself, Wedge. Cliff, who I met, I kept meaning to mention Cliff a few weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago, when we played Fulham. We got off the train chatting to random people. There's a guy called Cliff and a couple of his friends, and they were saying, oh yeah, they're the game, eh? Ooh, well, we lost 1-0 all the time wasting. And he said, are you Russell? I said, yeah, I am. I recognise your voice from the podcast. Oh my god, really? So Cliff, if you're listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for
it,
anyone else listening. Please
get the beers in, Cliff.
Recommend others to listen to my our inane nonsense, and we'll keep churning out the inane nonsense, won't we?
Wonderful. I'll be watching the next three games from my sunbed in Greece. I'm sorry I've got to go, but the rest of the Wedge family will be there at the games, cheering us on, getting us over the line.
And that is pod regulars Charlie Cordy and Georgie, Australia, so he's not that
off. Johnny in San Francisco. Yeah. Hello to all you boys. We're going to do this. We're going to get tickets to our first European game. I'm already setting up my plan for how I'm going to be on the tablet and simultaneously on 16 devices when the tickets go on sale for Europe.
This man,
we're going to be first on, and we're going to get the best of
this. Life. This man sorted out, what was it, 40 box part tickets.
40 box.
It was a military operation.
Military.
Are you sorting box part?
It was astounding. Box Park, Albania. Yeah.
We're doing Box Park, Donetsk. We're doing that.
I'll tell you what, Sturm Graz, near the station, near the airport.
Box Park, Sturm Graz.
Near the airport is the ground. All of the facilities, everything is near there. Sturm Graz, let's have that.
We'll probably get
Bala Town. Yeah. Or TNS. It's not even a proper football team, though.
We'll be able to drive.
True. Anyway, on that note, we shall bid you farewell, Wedge. Thank you, as always.
Thank you very much, up the Albion.
And don't forget, pendulums. Think about pendulums.
We'll show us your pendulums.
Tick-tock. So here we are, several hours after the game. Several hours after the game. Yeah,
we're in the house. Quite a few drinks.
we've had one or two drinks.
More than one or two drinks. Right? Let's be honest.
No, it's only one or two.
Okay, three.
We're in the house.
One.
We're in the house.
House of Hamilton.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it?
And I'm here with Amit. With Amir, who's here with Alison.
My name's Amir, not Amir.
Yes, that's a very, very good point. Well made. You distracted me. Stop doing that. Anyway, I'm here with Ahmed. I'm here with Ahmed as well. I don't know who he is.
You're here with Ahmed.
Ahmed.
Pete and Alan.
Right.
Who's he, though?
Who are you?
I've got no idea who I am. Ahmed, what do you think about today's game?
Oh, I think the game was absolutely brilliant. On such a high. Winning the game was fantastic. Espitin getting his goal, Undav, fantastic. Just brilliant. And seeing De Zerbi do that slide at the end of the game was fantastic. It was brilliant. Absolutely magical day.
It's brilliant. Can you stop wriggling your leg, actually? Because that's
Ashley. I'm aren't we?
Apart from that, I agree with everything you said.
That's and, a new WhatsApp message. Ahmed's legs turning me on.
You weirdo.
We're on Holloway Road. We're taking the fucking piss on me.
We are taking the
Who isn't though?
Yeah, we are taking the piss.
We're fucking brilliant, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We're taking the piss. We're Brighton of Albion. We're taking the piss.
No, it's brilliant.
Oh god, they turned the lights off. That's not a good sign, is it? Right. So we're about to go. So, final words on the game today. We were great, weren't we? Talk about the game.
We were fantastic in the game. We absolutely dominated the game. Second half, we came, we took our chances, and we absolutely took all three chances, and the result was brilliant for the Albion fans.
Superb stuff. Superb. Alan, any further words to add to our magnificence of victory? Over
to you, sir. Russell, I'm such a happy person.
Huh?
I'm such a happy person.
You're a happy person?
Yeah, I am. I've had a really good day today.
Yeah.
And the middle bit with the 90 minutes was fantastic.
Well, that's not normal.
Yeah. No, we blew...
anyway.
It was unbelievable. I mean... We kind of predicted the game. I actually predicted 3-2 to the Albion, if you remember.
You did. You were not far wrong, were you?
Well, but the second half was just unbelievable. I mean, obviously, we generally controlled the first half. They had a few chances. Trossard hit the crossbar. But they didn't really have... they didn't really threaten us too much. Second half, we came out. And it was just unbelievable. It was an air end as well. I mean, the experience of today was just so superb.
Yeah. We took it to them, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean...
Really did.
And Ciso's goal, fantastic, when he came over to the crowd, because of the air end, and then Undav with his chip, with his lob over Ramsdale. Obviously, Ramsdale got a hand to it, but he just was too much. He was just a fantastic... It was just so good. I'm so happy.
So good.
I mean, it's. I mean, I forgot. I had already forgotten about the 5-1 defeat by Everton. Anyway, I was kind of putting it in the back of my mind.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
You were out of the game.
And the thing is that I came back and I've walked into the Hammerton. What is this pub called? Hammerton.
The House of Hammerton.
The House of Hammerton.
Accidentally.
I come in the House of Hammerton. I walked in here.
Accidentally.
Got myself a nice little tune beer, pint of tune.
Yeah, oh, and, what a good pint.
And I immediately got on my phone and I bought myself a Newcastle ticket. So now I'm...
Sucker!
Yeah, I don't know why I did it, but anyway, I've done it. I bought a ticket, so let's see if it actually arrives on time. If it doesn't, I'm going to have to go to the ground and pick it up from the stadium. But,
Oh, no.
Just watch it all on TV.
No, I could watch it on TV.
Drive down to the hotel.
I haven't told my wife yet I'm going. And, I don't know why I did it, but I bought it anyway. It was a totally knee-jerk reaction to what happened today, because it was so brilliant.
Yeah. Wasn't it good?
It was actually a tactical masterclass by De Zerbi, actually.
What did you think of the slide from De Zerbi?
I've actually seen a picture of it, but I haven't actually seen it live. Tonight, when I get home, I've recorded the whole match on
Sky. The slide is good.
Yeah, are we talking about Roberto De Zerbi knee slide?
Yeah, the knee slide.
Fucking get
it. It is brilliant.
I want to see this.
I watched the clips, but we didn't think that the House of Hamilton was the appropriate place to be playing the clips.
No, not
time,
the time.
Next time I'm in the park, I'm going to do De Zerbi slide.
But the good thing is, we're in this pub now. And when we first arrived, it was full of Arsenal supporters. Now, there's only Albion supporters in there now.
Yes!
That's
always
To be fair, there are only three other people in the
Yeah, let's not spoil the... let's not spoil it. Listen, fantastic. Seagulls. Fantastic. All round. Everyone enjoy it? That's it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Right, we're off. We're signing out. Match Day Special. We've had a fantastic day out with a load of friends.
And North London is ours. Once
North
more.
London is ours, isn't it?
Again.
I was
the first sheep to get back.
And on that matter, I think we sign out by saying, stand or fall?
Up the Albion.
Yes. Sports Social Podcast Network.